faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. We're going to be joined by Mike Hammond of Gun Owners of America here in just a few minutes. Obviously, we're all still kind of reeling from the tragedy in Texas near San Antonio, the school shooting. What are the numbers now, guys? Sadly, 19 students killed, a couple teachers. Shocking, right? So why are we seeing this? Well, we have a couple articles today up at worldviewtimes.com. Worldviewtimes.com. I also have some articles up at worldviewreport.com. There's actually a really good article by John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. If time allows, we'll get into that. I've posted it at worldviewtimes.com. Worldviewtimes.com. Before Mike Hammond joins us, I want to play a couple minutes of an interview I did last night. I did about 30-35 minute interview last night, but I'm only going to bring you just a few minutes. It's with my friend Daryl Scott. Daryl was speaking for my Worldview Weekends within a matter of, months after his daughter was the first student killed at Columbine, April 20th, 1999. He traveled and spoke for Worldview Weekends all over the country. I had not talked to Daryl in quite some time, but I still had his number. And so when I heard of this tragedy, I thought, I'm going to reach out to Daryl. He joined me last night on television. The full interview is at WVWTV.com, frankspeech.com, WVWTV.com, frankspeech.com, both places. And this is just a few minutes of what Daryl had to say. Listen to this.
It's been several years since we've visited about your story, but if I remember correctly, your daughter was kind of targeted. They were unhappy with her because she had been sharing Christ with them. Again, it's been several years, Daryl, so forgive me if I got it wrong, but I think if I remember correctly, she was inviting them to church, and she was trying to reach out to those young men, and they were kind of hostile toward her because of her faith. That's why I got confused about the slurs about her, but you were saying racial slurs, was because she was the first student shot, if I remember correctly, but she was also mentioned in some of their videos that they had made in advance or some of their writings or something. And do I have that? Is my memory correct? They kind of targeted her, did they not?
Absolutely. They called her by name and said they used a bad word and said she was a blankety-blank Christian and that they were going to get her. And she was the first one that was shot and killed that day. She was still alive after being shot several times. And one of the shooters lifted her head up by her hair and he said, "Do you still believe in God?" And her answer was, "You know I do." And then he said, "Then go be with him." And he shot her in the temple.
And the way you know that story is because of the young man that she was sitting next to when this happened, correct?
That's right. Richard Castaldo was wounded. He's in a wheelchair for the rest of his life, but he saw what happened and heard what happened and shared it with us.
Daryl, what is this picture on the screen here? We'll have you guys put that up there. I know what it is. It's a rhetorical question here, but explain to our audience what that is.
And you guys can go watch the full interview. It's a pair of eyes, crying tears, same number of eye drops as to the number of victims, number of people that were killed that day. She drew that just shortly before she was killed, Rachel's tears. And of course there's a book about her by that same title, which I have had in my library for years and years. Here is another clip of Daryl, because he goes to the issue of gun control on all the legislation that's, they're going to already it was being politicized by Biden last night. Listen to what Daryl Scott, the father of Rachel Scott, killed at Columbine High School April 20th, 1999. I still remember to this day where I was, moved from my office to the living room to watch this whole thing play out, and still can just visualize sitting on the couch watching this with my wife. Listen to what Daryl had to say last night.
Speak to the nation tonight. How should we be processing what's happening? Because we know that these kind of tragedies get used for a lot of political agendas. And even tonight on the news, we're listening as people are saying, okay, this is it. We finally got to do something about gun violence. How do you, as a father that lost your daughter to a school violence, gun violence, how do you process that, and what do you say to Americans about that?
Well, first of all, it was not a gun that decided to kill my daughter. Guns don't make decisions. People do. It was the hearts of two young men that was very evil, very wicked, who planned for a year to do what they did at Columbine. Their weapon of choice was not guns. They had planted two propane tanks, barbecue grill tanks, in the cafeteria. And the police tell us if those two tanks had exploded like they were timed to do, over 500 students would have died at Columbine. And fortunately, those tanks didn't explode. They even shot their guns at the tanks to try to get them to explode, and they still wouldn't. But they grabbed guns when the tanks refused to explode, and as a backup plan, and they began to shoot and kill the students. The instrument of death is not the cause of the death. It's the person behind the gun, behind the knife, behind the club, behind the propane tank. And that's what we have put our energy and focus on, is reaching the hearts of the youth. And like I say, we've prevented eight school shootings that would have been on the news that never were, because young men had their hearts touched, or young people turned in their friends who weren't going to turn in their friends after hearing Rachel's story. So I'm so thankful that we have seen dozens, if not hundreds, of lives saved from school shootings because of Rachel's story. But I would say this, I don't get into the politics of this. I've spoken several times before Congress, but the issue goes much deeper than gun control. Eric and Dylan, the two shooters at Columbine, laughed on video and said, after Columbine, you're going to go pass more gun laws, and it's not going to stop people like us. And we could pass all the gun laws in the world, and it's not going to stop people from murdering others. They'll find a way if their intent is to do that. What we can do, and what we are doing, is reaching the hearts of young people before they're hardened enough to be able to commit such atrocious crimes.
Daryl,
and we'll hold it right there. Again, you can watch the full interview I did last night, about 30-minute interview with Daryl Scott, longtime friend of 25-plus years. We actually showed some pictures in that TV interview last night of Aldrich Arena, a suburb of St. Paul, Minneapolis, in 1999. I guess it would have been maybe early 2000. Late 99, early 2000. I have to go back and check the date. But we brought Daryl in to speak, and we had capacity crowd. The floor, the arena was packed. Aldrich Arena, hockey arena. We had all the media represented there, shockingly. All the local big outlets. And Minneapolis, St. Paul is a big media market. Promoted it. And that he was there and showed up. We had the crosses. You guys remember the crosses that someone made, the wooden crosses, and put them up on the hill for the kids to go to? Well, that man asked if he could drive through the night and bring those to this event, and he did. So we showed pictures of that. Then we went to Duluth, Minnesota, and then we went down to Rochester. Packed houses wherever we sponsored, Worldview Weekend sponsored these events. So longtime friend Gerald Scott last night on the tragedy in Texas. Joining me now to talk about it further is Mike Hammond of Gun Owners of America. Mike, welcome back to Worldview Radio.
Thank you.
On Lindell TV and VCY America Radio Network. There was no time wasted last night for Biden to walk out and begin to talk about gun control and to politicize the death of these, what I'm now being told is 19 elementary students and two teachers. So you want to speak to this issue? What are your thoughts today as a representative, not only American, but a representative of Gun Owners of America?
Well, Biden and the mainstream media would like to politicize this, as they do every tragedy involving multiple children. But there are several considerations. First of all, through most of American history, it has not been unlawful to take a gun in a school. it became unlawful the end of 1999, and within 3 years, Columbine happened. Now, the shooters, and I could say their names, but I'm not going to, the shooters basically didn't have any concern whatsoever that their actions were unlawful. As a matter of fact, they wanted to act as unlawfully as possible, and their objective was to become famous, to get their names and their pictures on the evening news, and they certainly succeeded in that to a great extent, as did the shooter in Buffalo. The intriguing thing, of course, is that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris got on and gave whiny speeches about the question of what will it take for the country to stop all of this gun violence by adopting gun control laws like New York's. I don't think they quite understand that Buffalo is in New York, that New York had New York's gun control laws, that they did absolutely no good, and that, as a matter of fact, the one thing they did is they told the shooter that he could go and shoot up a grocery store, and once he got the security guard, there was no chance that anyone would interfere with his 15 minutes of fame by firing back. So,
did he not talk about that? Correct me if I'm wrong. Was he one of the shooters that talked about the mark, what he chose, because he knew no one would be fighting back?
Yeah, basically he. In his 180-page manifesto, which the media has basically obsessed about for the last week, he talked about everything. The fact that he could shoot up this market without anyone firing back, thanks to New York's laws. The fact that he was motivated. And there's no question about what his motivation was, by the desire to become famous, by the desire to otherwise, presumably, he would get married, have kids, have a couple of trips to Myrtle Beach, and then have a 3-paragraph obituary, as someone put it. He saw this as an opportunity to become famous, and lo and behold, Joe Biden and the New York Times granted him exactly what he wanted. And at the time, I've stated on radio programs all over the country that there were dozens of kids, dozens of demented kids, sitting in various basements throughout the country, looking at the attention which the mainstream media was giving this guy and saying to themselves, aha. Aha, I know how I can get famous too. And the first example of this was the Texas shooter, but there'll be other examples. And the number of children who end up getting killed are just added to the Biden death count. But I don't think that they care that much, so long as it contributes to their political calculus.
All right, hold right there. Mike Hammond of Gun Owners of America. We know they don't care about children. They're for murdering children in the womb and outside the womb. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us, Worldview Radio. Our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Again, I'll remind you guys that our Ozarks Worldview Weekend, the 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend, you can now register, and it is filling fast. We only have seating for 1,000 people. It filled up last year. I believe it will fill up again this year. If you guys want to show the screen here, if you go to wvwtvstore.com, all one word, wvwtvstore.com. This is a new website we've put up, wvwtvstore.com. You'll find WVW Foundation Luncheon. That's on Saturday. That's optional. You'll find the WVW Ozark Concert Thursday night. That's, again, optional. That's our foundation concert. We've done that now. This will be the third year in a row. That is also optional. But then the conference itself, general seating tickets, priority seating tickets. Again, you just simply go to wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com. If you click on the general seating tickets, you will see the name of the resort and their phone number right there. The name of the resort and their phone number right there. Some of you are asking about that. There it is. Right there on the website under general seating tickets. And the thing is, you need to use the code WRLD for Tantara Resort, WRLD, so you can get the group rate that we have negotiated to save you as much as we can. All of the event is there at the resort. It's on Lake of the Ozarks, beautiful 1,150 miles of shoreline, rolling hills of the Ozarks. Last year, it was such a warm fall, the leaves hadn't even changed yet. The year before, they had. So you never know what you're going to get, but it's still beautiful either way, right? Dr. Peter McCullough, internist and cardiologist, an expert on pandemics, I'll be there. Mike Lindell will be there. Roger Stone, Patrick Wood, Annie Cyrus, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Andy Woods, Mr. Terry Turchi, former assistant deputy director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI, Leo Holman, Karen Kingston, all there in person. All the details, wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com. If you prefer to order tickets over the phone, Melissa will help you with that. Only do that if you do not want to order online. She has more than enough going on, so it's much easier if you do that for us online. But if you must, her number is 901-825-0652, 901-825-0652. Our 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend. Please also know, there is no profit mixed into the cost of the luncheon on Saturday, nor the banquet. We don't do... In fact, frankly, there's this conference. I actually announced a couple years ago that would be my last year to do this conference, and you guys all talked me out of it, and my wife talked me out of it. So we don't do this for profit. We do this because we want to encourage you and equip you. Again, I was announcing a couple years ago that I was done organizing these. I have enough on my plate, but you guys said, look, it's the one event we go to. We look forward to it. It's so encouraging to be with like-minded people. Please don't stop. Please don't stop hosting these. So we're doing this, again, as a labor of love. We don't even have a profit margin mixed into the luncheon on Saturday or the banquet on Thursday night because, again, it's really not about that. It is a great opportunity for us to see our regulars and to also visit with those that are regular supporters of our foundation. And so, again, take advantage of the opportunity, if you would, please, on this beautiful gated resort. A lot of people like it. It's all one location. Walk from the resort conference center to where we hold the event to your room. It's just, you just park and it's all inclusive right there. Joining me again is Mike Hammond of Gun Owners of America. We were talking during the break. Justin asked a good question. I'm going to ask the same question. Apparently, this guy was wearing body armor. Is that the report?
Well, my understanding is the Washington Post had reported that he was wearing body armor, but that subsequent reports had forced them to retract it.
Mm.
That is the Texas guy as opposed to the Buffalo guy.
Okay.
And I could use their names, but I'm not going to because that's what they want.
That's what they want. We weren't using the names of the guys from Columbine last night either. I refuse to say their names. I'm not saying this guy's name either. In fact, again, I read an article today that goes to the issue of the fact that one reason this is happening is because they want attention. They want their names used. They're looking for fame and fortune.
Oh, every reason that this is happening is because they are looking to become famous. I can tell you, one after another, the Sandy Hook killer had a bulletin board, and not just a computer bulletin board, an actual bulletin board in which he had posted articles on people who had engaged in prior mass shootings, many of the aspects of which he copied, including the type of gun, the modus operandi, and so on and so forth. If you want to look at the motivation of these mass shootings, about 99% is that these people have seen, they've studied previous shootings and the attention given to previous shootings, and they want the same amount of attention. The New York Times did an entire week in which it obsessed on the Buffalo shooter's crazy 180-page manifesto. It's just a crazy rant, and yet the New York Times focused on it because it wanted to create this notion that in the upcoming elections, Republicans and pro-gunners were white supremacists, racists, and crazy.
And yet it came out this guy admitted he was an eco-fascist, a socialist, hated Christians. I think there was some anti-Semitism in there. But he was basically a Joe Biden supporter.
Yeah, these people, by and large, up until the person who shot Gabby Giffords right down the line, they don't know what they are. They don't know what they are. They just are poor, sad children who are looking for attention and looking for some sort of, quote, meaning in their lives.
Supposedly this young man was bullied, had put scars on his own face, according to some students, scarred his own face up.
Well,
was bullied.
I was bullied too, and if that criterion is enough to cause you to kill 19 people, then the entire country would be rife with mass shootings.
Well, that's absolutely true. You know, I wonder. And someone wrote a really good article, and I posted it up at worldviewreport.com today about, you know, how this happened and looking at some of the tragedies. And I can't remember now where it was at, but one of them made the very astute analysis that, you know, maybe there's also a connection between the fact that we have shut down schools, isolated these kids, isolated them, increased their drug use, increased their depression, increased all of that. Then we put masks on them and we dehumanized them. So you can't see people smile. You can't see their facial expression. We've dehumanized people by putting masks on them. And you have to wonder, again, I'm not looking for excuses for this murderer, but you have to wonder what is the psychosis really that has been created by the deep state, by our government, with the way our children have been treated the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think it's an incentive. I think it's something which will push kids who are already troubled and crazy over the line. And the extent to which children have been bottled up, have been sunk into intense depression, and have been separated from the social interaction which they would normally have with other children, is probably going to contribute to pushing kids who are considering a mass shooting right over the edge. I think you can expect in the next few months that you're going to see this over and over again, that you're going to see kids who look at the attention given to other mass shootings and decide that they want some of that attention as well.
And again, whether it's at a church, a grocery store. We saw the grocery store murder in Buffalo. We saw the grocery store murder in Colorado. That guy ended up being an anti-Semite who was targeting basically a grocery store visited often by Jews due to the kosher things there available for purchase. But grocery stores, Movie theaters, we know that. That was Colorado, right?
Yeah. Incidentally, the grocery store in Boulder was chosen specifically because this anti-Semite had determined that it was a no-gun zone.
Okay.
The grocery store, the movie theater in, I think, is Aurora, was chosen specifically because it was a gun-free zone. As a matter of fact, the killer drove past a movie theater that allowed guns and specifically chose one in which he knew people would not fire back. And incidentally, the entirety of New York, I mean, a gun-free zone. And I think that speaks for itself.
Yeah. Well, and I guess what I'm saying with the movie theater, the restaurant, Luby's restaurant, remember that?
Mm.
Luby's Cafe?
Yeah.
You've got restaurants, you've got movie theaters, you've got grocery stores, you've got churches. These are places that people move in America with frequency and rather casual. Oftentimes, it's particularly if you're out to dinner, you're at a movie, of course, going to church. You're not going to the grocery store. You're not anticipating to be in a firefight with somebody. It's not like you're going to the bad part of town and you lock your doors and you're concerned about, I got to get in here and get out of here. Again, I guess a good point I'm making is it shows why Americans need to be armed and have their Second Amendment and carry. And more states, of course, are passing constitutional carry. I want to go to the screen because there's an article over at Ammoland.com that I read today. 30% of Texas schools have armed teachers and staff.
And my understanding was this was not one of them.
However, Robb Elementary, where 19 students and 2 adults were killed, does not appear to be one.
Yeah.
Robb Elementary is among most Texas school subject to the Federal Gun-Free Zone Act, which prohibits concealed carry on the premises according to the school's own rules and codes of conduct. So here's the question. How is it that some of these schools, how is it you get 30% of teachers in Texas are armed? How are they getting around the Federal Gun-Free Zone Act?
If they have a permit to carry, then they're not covered by the Cole Amendment. They have to have the special dispensation of the school, and they have to have a carry permit, which in Texas is optional, but there is a workaround.
Well, I also saw, here's one, Wisconsin gun owners calls for armed teachers and staff after Texas school shooting. And so, again, I guess they went on and looked at a study. This article, they looked at a study where teachers were trained, and they found that if they could take teachers who already were gun carriers, so they already had the gun, they had the frequency of it, they had the familiarity with it, they'd gone through the training, they're already gun carriers, and then said to them, "Would you be willing to carry a gun at school?" Now, granted, a percentage of the teachers said no, but pretty good percentage said, yeah, if it means.
But you don't need every teacher.
No.
If you have some teachers, then that may be enough.
Yep. And so what they asked was, would some of you be willing to carry your gun? And the answer was yes, absolutely. To protect my kids, yes. And again, with this teachers and everyone being trained and drilled and knowing the school, you drastically decrease death rates. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. And again, if you want to register for the Ozarks Conference coming up the middle of October, the website is wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com. Before we continue with Mike Hammond of gunowners.org, gunowners.org, I saw an article today over at Law Enforcement Today, headline, "Nothing to see here, auditors audit the auditors. Auditors audit the auditors and find IRS destroyed 30 million taxpayer forms." I mean, so that's a criminal operation anyway. We all know it. Okay, the IRS is a criminal operation. We all know it. They can't even find out where their own budgets are. They can't even find their own missing money over many years. They target conservatives. They target Christians. This is a criminal operation. But so much is our federal government. From the FBI to the IRS to the CIA, all of these really now have moved into becoming criminal organizations. So are you shocked to find out that the IRS is going around and destroying 30 million taxpayer forms? You know, this is equivalent, again, and I don't want to castigate every IRS employee, because I've known a few and I've actually worked with a few and was audited in 96 and 97. And the lady that audited me was very, very kind and went in with my accountant, and we were in and out. And she said, "You're the most organized person I've audited in my 18 years. I'm like, she was shocked. I was the only person, she said, had ever brought a laptop computer to an audit. Well, that's because I had my Quicken files on there, and I knew anything she asked, I could answer. And she's like, "Wow." She gave me this weird look when she asked me a question, and I pulled out my computer and set it up on her desk. She looked at me, she looked at my accountant, and I said, "Yeah?" She said, "No one's ever brought a computer to an audit." And I'm sure that's probably more common today. But she's like, "We were going to audit you for a second year, but you're so organized, this is not worth it. There's nothing here. Have a good day." And we answered her questions. She had two or three questions. My accountant and I provided her with the answers, and we were out the door. She was very pleasant, very professional. We've had IRS agents attend our Worldview weekends that I personally know. So I don't want to castigate every agent. We've actually talked to some of them that have been extremely helpful. But the organization as a whole and the leadership, which is so much of the case, isn't it? The leadership, whether it's the leadership of the FBI, the leadership of the CIA, the leadership, Lois Lerner, of the IRS, targeting Tea Party and conservatives, it often comes down to the leadership, doesn't it? But here you have 30 million taxpayer forms destroyed. Now, I was texting with my tax attorney and accountant today, and one responded back, "Yes, we've had to refile several forms for clients who already filed these forms. And we had to turn around and we had to refile them because they were part of this destruction of files." So where is the massive penalties against the IRS? Of course, the problem is you penalize the IRS, you're just penalizing Americans. We pay the bill. Unfortunately, there is no accountability. We have a retired IRS agent in the Memphis area that just quit. He told us that around December of this last year, they had 20 tractor trailer loads of unopened mail just at the Memphis IRS. 20 tractor trailer loads of unopened mail. That's what he told my accountant. Now, maybe again, it's like, "Well, we got too much work, just shred the paper." Of course, the IRS is lying about this, but you can read it over at lawenforcementtoday.com. But again, I don't want to castigate every postal worker either, because we have great postal workers we deal with all the time. But how many times have we seen them dumping the mail? Dumping the mail. "Oh, it's too much. Can't keep up. Just dump it in a dumpster." We've seen this on video. So let's just be very aware. The IRS, 30 million taxpayer forms, they just decided to shred them. And, of course, the sad thing is there will be zero accountability because we have a federal government that is tyrannical. They break the law with impunity. There is no consequences. They know they can get away with it. And now we have the ATF breaking the law. The ATF is also now flagrantly breaking the law, and there needs to be people that are held accountable. But unfortunately, it won't happen because most of our governors are feminized wimps. Most of our governors are feminized wimps. They don't know the Constitution. They don't know the Declaration of Independence. They don't know their own state constitutions. And most of them, a lot of them, I should say, I think, in my opinion, a lot of them are compromised, bought off, paid off, they're dirty. They're dirtied up and they're controlled. So until you have good leaders elected to office that will actually enforce the state laws and refuse the tyranny from Washington, it'll continue. But whether it's the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, the ATF, they all break the laws with impunity. They're criminal organizations, by and large. Doesn't mean everybody involved with them is a criminal, but by and large, these have now, particularly at the leadership level, become criminal organizations that break the law with impunity. One of them is the ATF. You want to talk to us about this, Mike?
Sure, I'd like to. I hesitate to correct you. I would say they're corrupt wimps. People like Sarah Palin are pretty stalwart when it comes to standing up to big government. I think they are corrupt wimps. The instance you asked me to talk about was happened last November. Gun Owners of America convinced 52 congressmen to write the BATF asking how many records it had in its national gun registry. Now, I had personally negotiated McClure-Volkmer Firearms Protection Act steps in the Roosevelt Room, steps away from Ronald Reagan's Oval Office, and so I had written language which made it specifically illegal for BATF to keep national gun registries or to keep information or to keep any of these documents on file. So we were expecting for BATF to answer, if it answered at all, the congressional request by saying zero. We have, in accordance with the law, zero records in our national gun registry. Guess what? Instead, they responded back to our shock and amazement that they had in the vicinity of 900 million records. They had kept these in terms of out-of-business records, which they told us in the Roosevelt Room, oh, no, they're just in tractor trailers. We're never going to computerize them. We're just going to throw them away. Guess what? They computerized them. In addition, BATF has gone into gun dealers, demanded for its annual inspection, demanded that the dealers themselves leave the room at the same time as they're photographing all the records which they're prohibited from taking out of that store.
Wow.
So they end up having 900 million illegal records in a national gun registry, which they guaranteed to us would never exist, but we all know that the government doesn't feel bound by the same laws that bind everyone else.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So what is, you have a great video over on your website about this at gunowners.org. It's 6 minutes long. About 6 minutes long. Let's see. Yep, six minutes. Let me play just a minute of it. Let me play a little bit of it.
Some breaking news for you. Gun Owners of America has just released a massive report on the ATF's illegal gun registry. Here's the first part of our five-part series on how dangerous this registry is and what we're doing to stop it. I'm Phil, and this is the Minuteman Moment. Please be sure to like, share, and subscribe so you can watch every episode about this new report. We've talked extensively about the ATF's gun registry on previous episodes of the Minuteman Moment as that news was breaking. And with the help of Congressman Michael Cloud and thousands of patriotic GOA activists like you, we were able to kick this hornet's nest and get some answers. Behind the scenes, we made a Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA request, to the ATF, and we received them back. After our team analyzed the hundreds of pages they sent back, we now have a very good idea of how the ATF keeps records of your gun purchases and how they plan on making it worse. Since a FOIA can be a little tedious to read, we've condensed it down into a report which will be available in the description. Even though the report is really readable, you should check it out, The contents are so important that we're starting this short series to break it down for you so it's easier to share when you get into arguments with that crazy aunt of yours on Facebook who insists that there's no such thing as a gun registry. So for this first video, let's go over what we previously knew about the gun registry and what we've learned since then. We've all known that the ATF has kept a record of guns for their tracing efforts for decades. The records are kept in the National Tracing Center, or NTC, which is a massive warehouse located in West Virginia. All gun dealers are required to turn in the 4473 forms, which gun purchasers are required to fill out from the last 20 years once they go out of business, and send those to the ATF. Those forms contain gun purchasers' names, addresses, and even a social security number. That's in addition to the information on the actual gun they're purchasing. The justification for this tracing center is supposedly that it stops crimes. In GOA's report, we demonstrably debunk that notion, and we'll release a video on that in a few days. We've talked before how there are so many cases of gun registries in history which lead to gun confiscations. And Americans understand a disarmed population leads to tyranny and even genocide. This gun registry contains the names, addresses of gun owners, and the number and type of guns they own. This gun registry is in violation of several federal statutes put in place to avoid exactly what the ATF is currently doing. Just to give you an idea of how brazenly bad this registry has always been, a few years ago, the Government Accountability Office, or GAO, did a report literally called ATF Did Not Always Comply with the Appropriations Act restriction and should better adhere to its policies. In the report, they found that ATF's collection and maintenance of the records of out-of-business members at NTC violated the Appropriations Act restriction on consolidation or centralization of firearms records. ATF claims they solved this problem and in fact told Congress that this November. But we know, based on an ATF ruling, that the ATF has a process for firearm dealers that have not gone out of business to turn in their records early. But the ATF has no statutory authority to receive these records. Just like GAO found in their 2016 report, GOA can prove that the ATF is still actively ignoring statute and combining records into one centralized system.
And it's time for some folks at the ATF to go to federal prison. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. We need to see a perp walk, and we need to start seeing IRS agents, CIA, FBI, ATF. We need to start seeing perp walks and these people going to federal prison. Agree or disagree, Mike?
I agree.
Why do we, as the American people, tolerate this enslavement by a central government we, the people, created? They are not our masters. We created the federal government. It is to answer to us. It is not to enslave us. And we need to see these people in cuffs, perp walked, and in federal prison. And
well,
busting rocks.
And busting rocks.
We need to give
the
them
places that the American people get a lot of their information. The mainstream media basically covers up this information, or alternatively sugarcoats it in a way that makes it look desirable for the government to have information about your most intimate exercise of your Second Amendment rights. Let me add one more thing, and that is in 19 states, they have passed what are called red flag gun confiscation laws. Now, what these mean is that if a single person, including a member of the police force, files a complaint about you, then a SWAT team can come to your house.
Hold it there for a second. Let me give the number. 1-800-347-9829. Phone line's open. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. You want to finish the comment about the red flag laws real quick, Mike?
I was just saying that red flag laws will exploit those gun registries by allowing police to come to your home in the middle of the night, and they know basically what guns you have, and they know where you live, and in some cases, uncooperative homeowners have ended up being shot to death.
Well, this is why current police officers, police detectives, retired military, current military, special forces guys tell me they have guns, and they have them hidden off their premises.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't surprise me.
And these people are working for the governments. These people are working for the governments. And they're like, yeah, we keep some of our guns elsewhere because we're not going to be without our guns. Let me get this straight. You work for the government. You're paid by the government. You're employed by the government. And you don't even trust your own stinking corrupt government.
Well, sometimes the people who are paid by the government and work for the government have the most reason not to trust their stinking corrupt government.
Let's go to Greg in Minnesota. Greg, thank you for calling in, Greg. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg.
How are you today?
Good, thank you.
I got a couple comments. One is, I mean, I have a permit to carry, and I carry all the time. It's sad that I have to do that, but, I mean, you look at, you know, the defund the police movement, and then you have schools and universities that are taking away, you know, the security, and they wonder why these things happen.
Yeah, well, places like Philadelphia, in which they have indicated that although there are mass riots, the police can't protect them. All of a sudden, people, including liberals, including people who spent their entire life fighting for gun control, have decided that their family is more important than those stinking gun control laws.
Wow. 1-800-347-9829. Phone line open, 1-800-347-9829. All right, buckle up, folks. Here's Brad. Brad, welcome aboard, Brad.
Hello, Brad.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Brad.
I'm tired of hearing about these kids that go around blowing people away in mass shootings as being some kind of a mental case all the time. That's always the getaway with the crime thing. And these are just big babies who have never had any discipline. And then people call them, you know, their parents say, oh, they're lonely, or they got a mental health problem. They want attention. The parents have no discipline to offer. The DAs don't prosecute them anymore. And even if they do it, wind up in the clink for a while, you've got judges assigning low bail or just turning them loose on their parents' recognizance or even their own, and eventually early release if they ever do go to any long-term confinement.
Now, and if they do, by the way, go into the juvenile system, they come out more angry and twisted than they went in because of what's going on in the juvenile court system. If they go to the adult system, that's absolutely disgusting, and they're literally subjected to men having sex with other men right in front of them and all kinds of other horrible stories that you can have documented, and that's if they're not themselves sexually assaulted or have the living daylights beat out of them to be sexually assaulted. And then those 18 or 19 year olds come out of that system more angry, more bitter. So I'm not making excuses for them, but I'm telling you the way that the cops will tell you how corrupt the system is and how bad it is, they're actually making them more criminal. Then you take these kids, you throw them in the foster homes, and many of these foster homes, they're abused physically, sexually. And again, some of these kids, not all of them, but some of them are the product of the system. The system made them who they are.
Yeah. Well, I want people to get a little perspective here. You got Biden out there, our fake president, gritting his teeth and being mad at us because of these deaths that happened in Texas. Gun deaths, by comparison, are microscopic compared to the amount of abortion deaths. Today alone, another 3,500 babies are going to be ripped apart.
Yeah, and as I said last night on TV, we broke into his speech last night, and I was yelling at the big TV monitor in front of me while he was speaking, and I started talking over top of him. He's all worried about the kids. He doesn't care about the kids. Well, actually, I think he does care about children in a creepy way, but he doesn't care about the safety of children. Again, this guy is all 100% for abortion at any level, and now all of his compadres are working for, you know, to further infanticide, which is in 19 states in America, killing a baby outside the womb. So I think this guy's only concern with kids is what he can get away with doing to them, because I think he's a sex pervert, frankly. I mean, I don't. If you're doing what you're doing with children while you're swearing in the father or the grandfather, and you're doing that kind of stuff in public with the cameras on, what's your behavior like when the cameras are off? That's just my opinion.
Well, I think he's willing to use children for his own political benefit, as is the media, in order to accomplish their own political goals.
Let's go to thank you, Brad. Let's go to Sandra in Los Alamos. Sandra, thanks for calling in from New Mexico today.
Hello, Sandra.
Yes. I have a question for both Brannon and Mike. Have either of you looked into the MK Ultra training? There are some who feel that some of these shooters get triggered. They have been trained. And I think there is a lady on Telegram by the name of Brooke Federline who posted a long interview with a man from Canada who was trained this way, and he had to break the training. And he was trained as an assassin.
Well, I will tell you, last week, and I brought it up on this show, last week I showed a 2017 article and press statement by a father who the FBI, through an FBI asset, continued to contact his schizophrenic, mentally unstable son to try to convince him to be involved in a bombing. The FBI asset under FBI direction was trying to lure this young man, a schizophrenic young man, into a bombing. So, yes, I guarantee you our government puts people up to doing this. You want to comment in closing, Mike?
I couldn't add to that.
You don't disagree with it?
No, I don't disagree with it. I will say that our government IDEA laws governing the treatment of mentally disadvantaged in schools are pushing these kids toward becoming Adderall kids or Ritalin
yes.
kids.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Are creating even a greater probability that they're going to
gunowners.org. Gunowners.org, gunowners.org. Thank you, Mike. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.